The Pharisees did not understand what he was saying to them. This is important for you and for me. Let's look at what the gospel's doing here. I just kind of figured this out. Actually, I read somebody who figured it out for me, that in chapter 9, which we actually heard on about the fourth Sunday of Lent, it's the cure of the guy who was born blind. Jesus put mud on his eyes. He went to the pool of Siloam, washed and could see. But then he was interrogated by these same Pharisees. And the interrogation bleeds over into chapter 10, where we're at, as Jesus continues to address them. In chapter 9, it ends with this. He basically tells them, you are blind, and your sin is worse because you believe you can see. And in this parable, in this proverb, Jesus is telling them that they're deaf. And the two things, being blind and deaf, are the characteristics of idols. Self-idolatry. And I think that's what this is about, is Jesus is inviting them. He's kind of smacking them up a little bit, saying, look, get the picture. Remember the closed captioning for those hard of hearing on Saturday Night Live? Today in the news, it's like that. He's trying to get their attention so that they might recognize themselves and see into their hearts with less pretense and see what they need to bring to him to come through the gate. And what's kind of, there's some interesting word play in this thing, in this gospel passage. Jesus is the gate. The Greek there is thura. It's the same word used in chapter 20 when Jesus appeared to the disciples, though the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, thura. He went in their door. Because the disciples, and here the Pharisees, were unable to go in through his door. Okay. Oh my goodness. Basically, there's so much in here. I could go on for hours. You know that. It's about the voice. His sheep hear his voice. Now, what I came to in looking at this is that I've basically domesticated the voice of God. I don't want it to be inconvenient. I don't want it to challenge me. So I make the good shepherd. Oh, you cute little good shepherd. I'm just a little sheep. And cuddle up here and everything's going to be just hunky-dory. The phoné, the voice, the sound of God in the Old Testament terrified the people. Chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus. When he was speaking to them about the covenant and making the covenant with them, they were terrified to go near the mountain of God because of the sound. And it made me think, what do I do with the sound of God's voice myself other than domesticate it? Because it's too much to bear, really. It calls me too far into trust, into self-recognition and self-donation. And the picture that happens during this passage is about the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherds in the Old Testament were problematic. The shepherds in the Old Testament, if you look and go look at the whole dang chapter of 34 in the prophet Ezekiel, there's this long diatribe against the shepherds. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Say to them, the shepherds, you shepherds of Israel have been feeding yourselves. Should you not be feeding the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. This is what's going on in the background when Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, the shepherds of the people, and is challenging them and calling this to mind because of what just happened with this guy who was born blind. They threw him out of the synagogue. They didn't accept what he was saying, that this guy healed him, and said he must be a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath, and threw him out. Now, the shepherds in the Old Testament were basically the rulers, the ruling class. In Ezekiel, it was after, prophesying during the exile, but it was the shepherds, the king, and the people in charge politically that were using the poor for their own fulfillment. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness have ruled them. Might that say something about what the House of Representatives did with the Affordable Care Act? That our shepherds treated the sheep, are treating the sheep harshly and not caring, not strengthening the weak and healing the sick. My sheep were scattered and they wandered all over the face of the earth. What's the mystery of human life here? Not just in the Pharisees, not just in the rulers then, not just in our elected officials or our bishops or our pastors or me, but the vocation we're all called to of some kind of leadership in our lives. What's the mystery about taking rather than giving? I think this is what it addresses, and it's the most painful thing because none of us want to be seen that way. How we take and withhold because hurt people hurt people. What I think Jesus is doing by inviting even the Pharisees to come and hear the voice of the shepherd and entered through the gate is to find the healing that they needed, that you and I need. We're praying for vocations today. And after Mass, Brad and Christine back here will renew their vows as a married couple. There are some of you that have been married for a while. Some of you are engaged. We're praying for vocations to religious life and the priesthood. It's not the vocation that's the issue. It's the ongoingness of it all. When I was 38 years ago, it was a month from being ordained, One of my professors at Berkeley came up and said, "Rock, priesthood will unlock the secret of your life." Then he walked on. I thought, oh, great, what the H does that mean? What it has meant is the discovery of the mystery of woundedness in my life. It's not about being so great, which is what I really want. It's not about being in front of people and receiving admiration and even adoration. That's what I want. But the greatest mystery revealed in my vocation has been my woundedness and my unwillingness to give. I'm one of those wounded shepherds, like all the people we could point to and say, you, but there's the me. We're all in this together. We all get to explore the mystery of our human frailty and woundedness. And the mystery of being called by the voice of the shepherd to enter through the gate, not to separate off and remain in that veneer, that protected shield that says, nah, I'm just going to sit here and take. That's a little, it's usually not that blatant. But to explore the mystery of our human emptiness and with the shepherd to be called to follow and walk behind him. As sheep that are wounded, whether it's the Pope or the President, whether it's the Congress or the bishops or pastors or anyone in leadership, whether it's husbands or wives, it's here. In hearing the voice of the shepherd, we're called to discover who we are and how to follow as wounded sheep. I think that's the mystery of Easter that continues to call us into the resurrected life of Christ as we are. And I find that that is challenging and yet very hopeful. That Christ continues to speak with his voice into your hearts and mine. And come, follow. Come into the sheepfold as you are. So may God bless us and guide us this Easter season.